Hi, I'm so honored that you've chosen to hang out with us today. I'm Pastor Marcus Meekum, and it really does mean the world that we get to spend some time together. I especially want to take a minute and say thank you to every one of you that have reached out to us over the last several months, your phone calls, your letters, your emails. It has just meant so much to know that what we're doing is making a difference in your lives in any way, shape, or form. And so, again, thank you for that. I also want to, starting today, do something for every one of you that would desire this. We're providing two resources that you may be seen before completely for free. The first one is our Unbroken Devotional. All you have to do is call, let us know, and we'll get this to you for free. But the Unbroken Devotional is some thoughts that God put in my heart from 100 days of unbroken prayer. It changed my prayer life forever. I think the reason I'm here today talking to you is because of those 100 days of unbroken prayer. And so I would like to get that in your hand. And then the devotional on the book of Acts, God's still telling his story. The same miracles we read about in the book of Acts, God's not finished. God's not done. He wants to use us in the same way he used the early church. So call the number on the screen. Get these two devotionals. We know it'll be a blessing to your life. And do not forget, 30 minutes after this broadcast, you can come and hang out with us live and online. You can enjoy worship. You can chat with us. Get to know Seven Hills Church a little bit more than what you maybe know about us right now. Come worship with us. We look forward to seeing you soon. Let's get right to the message. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Not the answer he wanted, but his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest on me. Therefore, I take pleasure in the infirmities, reproaches, and needs, and persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For where I am weak, then I am strong. Or when I am weak, then I am strong. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes on the ministry of thorns. The Bible here says Paul was given a thorn in the flesh. The word given denotes that this is a gift of thorns. What a strange gift. What an unusual gift to be given, a gift of thorns. This was not a gift that was given to him to bless him or to honor him or to celebrate something in his life. This is a gift, the Bible says, that was sent to buffet him. The word buffet means to beat me down. So he's not only given an unusual gift, the assignment of this gift is clear. Its assignment is to beat Paul down. The Bible says this gift was given by the devil or by Satan. It's clear that this was a demonically given gift. However, God is in some ways overseeing this process. God is like the unseen agent managing this gift giving. God is not the giver of this gift, but he seems to be managing it or being in control of it. John Wesley said, the devil is God's devil. He uses him as our workout partner. I like that. That sometimes God just has a way of using the enemy to help you and I get stronger. So here the Bible says Paul is having an abundance in almost every area of his life. He has just experienced, verses before this, he said, I don't know if this was in the body or out of the body, but he had gone to the third heaven, which is a reference to where the throne of God exists. This is where God is, where the angels surround the throne of God and they cry out, holy, holy, holy. So Paul has in some way experienced the throne room of God in a supernatural way, in a way that was so real, he physically thought that he was there in the presence of God. And it was so powerful that the revelation, the insight, the understanding he was given would in many ways have gone to his head, made him think that he's some big deal or something special because of this privilege. So God gives him a thorn in the flesh that he would not boast beyond measure. So all of his life is blessed except one area. In many times, this is how it is. The longer you serve God, the more he blesses you. The more you find your life abundant in some areas, you'll always find it accompanied by a thorn in another area. If the marriage is great, the kids are a thorn. If the marriage and kids are great, then your finances are a thorn. If all that's great, then many times your health is a thorn. Very rarely is everything going the way it should go at the same time. And God, the Bible says, allows this so we can allow that thorn to not make us boast beyond measure. If everything's going great all the time, we have a tendency to think there's something special about us and something wrong with everybody else, because if they had it together like I had it together, they wouldn't have the problems that they have. So God allows us to be blessed, but he introduces a thorn into our life to keep us in many ways humble and not thinking more of ourselves than we should. Sometimes the thorn is a person. Sometimes it's you personally. Internal struggles and storms, insecurities, doubts, anger, jealousy, animosity in some way on the inside can become a thorn to you. Sometimes it's your past. Sometimes it's situations out of your control. The Bible teaches us in Genesis that thorns are a result of the fall, or thorns are a curse of sin. So this world is a place that's filled with thorns. Everywhere you look, there are thorns. And the Bible says it's a result of the fall that we live in a broken world that is filled with thorns. In Numbers 33, God pronounces 7 blessings over the children of Israel. And inside of each of these blessings, he cautions them, he warns them that there will be a tendency for thorns to step up and try to stop the blessing in their life. And so here he has abundance in every area, but there's this one thorn. What's interesting to me about Paul is that thorn causes him to go to God 3 times. 3 different times he cries out. 3 different times he says, God, I don't get it. I don't understand. Why is this happening in my life? Why are you allowing this to go on? 3 times he goes to God. It wasn't the abundance that drove Paul to his knees. It was the thorn that drove him to his knees. And in the same way with us, I wish that God could just bless you and give you nothing but abundance and nothing but good things in life. And he will, and he does, and he is a good God, and he loves to give good gifts to his children. However, he is so good, and he loves you so much that he'll allow there to be a thorn in there somewhere so you won't start thinking too much about yourself, and so you'll keep going to this place in your life where you'll acknowledge, God, in spite of all the blessings, there is still an area of my life, or 2 or 3, that I need you. The thorn taught him 3 things. Number 1, it taught him about God's grace. Number 2, it taught him about his own weakness, which is important. And number 3, it taught him that God's grace is sufficient where we're weak. The word sufficient means to build up a barrier to guard you against that which is coming against you. So when you start going through these troubled times of life, God introduces that to you, number 1, so you'll know how strong he is. Number 2, so you'll experience how, as strong as you want to think you are, there's probably an area where you're weak. And in that area of weakness, God wants to introduce his sufficiency. He wants to build up barriers around that area of your weakness. And that barrier will guard you against that which is trying to come against you. If you're here and you're saying, it feels like life is beating the living Hades out of me. If you're here and you're thinking, man, I feel like a human pinata. How much more could I possibly take? And maybe you're here saying, so pastor, you're saying that all of this is God? No, I'm saying it's the devil. Well, good. So what you're saying then is that God is going to somehow fix it or deliver you from it? Maybe he will. Maybe he won't. Maybe it's not you that needs to be delivered from the enemy, but maybe you need to be delivered from you. Your own self-sufficiency, your own self-reliance, your own self-righteousness sometimes gets in the way, and you say, well, okay, so what you're saying, though, if I get delivered from those things, then everything's going to be all right. No, there's no indication that Paul ever had God respond to any of his multiple requests. There's no evidence that God ever showed up and delivered Paul from this thorn. You say, why is this important? Because the longer I'm in church, the more I realize that we love our plastic smiles. We love our stained glass voices. We are brilliant pretenders. And we act like we have it all together. And every now and then, you just have to acknowledge, I have some thorns. I have some things that I've prayed about. I've asked God to help me. I've asked God to deliver me. And in many ways, there are things this side of heaven God may never fix in our life. It doesn't mean he doesn't love you. It doesn't mean he's not for you. But you and I have to conclude, what do I do, not just with the blessings, not just with the abundance of revelation, but what do I do with these thorns, these areas that are causing constant pain and hurt in my life? Well, Paul said that he would gladly receive that gift. Think about that. He didn't reluctantly receive it. He gladly said, okay, God, if this is what you're going to send, I gladly receive this as a gift. The second thing he did is he boasted not in the abundance, but he boasted in the thorn. He boasted in the reproach. He boasted in the infirmity. He boasted in the need of his life. He was boasting in the persecutions of his life. And the word boast means to glory to the point of a shout. Now, I understand shouting over the miracle. I understand shouting over the breakthrough. I understand shouting when God makes a way where there seems to be no way. I understand shouting when things are healed. I understand shouting when God comes through. I get all that. But shouting and boasting over a thorn, I don't get that. But what Paul was trying to say is the thorn is sent there to silence you. It's sent there to shut you up. It's sent there to try to get you to quiet down. And so the more pain you feel as you mature in your walk with God, that's when you learn to say, okay, it's not just in the blessing I shout. It's not only in the abundance I shout, but I learn to shout and rejoice and give God glory even in the thorns of life. The final thing is it says he took pleasure in it. So God, if you can handle the thorn right, God will produce a ministry from that thorn. We don't minister to people from our abundance. We don't minister to people from the blessed places. We minister from the areas where we've been wounded, where we've been broken, where we've been pierced, where we're hurting. Show me someone that's not been significantly wounded, and I'll show you someone whose ministry will be very shallow. The greater the wound, the greater the ministry. The greater God wounds you, the greater he can trust you with a greater ministry to others. The point is, people die. I'm not being insensitive, but it happens. People get sick. People get hurt. People disappoint. Relationships go bad, beautiful things go wrong, good things go bad, and I don't know exactly what to say about it other than the wisdom of Solomon couldn't help it feel better. No matter what sermon you would hear, there's no way that you could understand it in a way where you would say, okay, now this thorn that I wake up to every day, that I go to bed to every night, now I'm at peace with it. All you can do is realize it's a thorn and ministry comes from and through that thorn. Paul said, I'm determined to not have an attitude of defeat. I'm not only determined to not feel defeated, but I'm defeated to see that this is a message from the enemy. This is sent by the enemy, but the thorn itself is not my enemy. It was sent by the enemy, but it or they're not the enemy. Y'all look perplexed. Let me break it down like I would understand. So last night, Sarah and I are watching Geo, which we do every chance we can get. Every day I wake up and I try to find a way to watch Geo. And he's learning to climb up on tables and different things like that. And so he gets injured. Well, when he gets injured on the table or by the table, he gets really mad at the thing that hurt him. Well, as a good grandpa, I just jump in with him and I get mad at the table too. I hit the table, stupid table, dumb table. How dare you hurt Gio? You I'll get you. I move the table. I throw the table around and give Gio a high five and say, you don't worry. Grandpa's got that table. But don't you know that the table isn't the problem? The problem is Gio is learning that he's not invincible. So even though the table caused pain in his life, the table is not the enemy. The table is actually a revealer of his limitations, which we all have limitations. And as you mature in the things of God, you'll start to learn that every now and then God will let there be pain and you'll get mad at the pain. You'll get mad at the situation. You'll get mad at the church. You'll get mad at God. You'll get mad at that person. You'll get mad at something when a lot of times God's just trying to teach you, no, you're limited. Your expectations were inappropriately placed. You put too much on them instead of more on God and more on yourself. You're just still trying to mature and grow. And even though there might be some people that start blaming all those other situations with you, the truth is you're just growing up and you're learning that you're not invincible. Your mind's not invincible. Your body's not invincible. Your relationships are not invincible. Nothing in this world as we see it is invincible. It's all breaking down in some way, shape, or form. And so we need to get to this place where we realize, okay, fine, God's not taking that thorn away from me, but that thorn is not the enemy. If I were to be preaching a sermon right now on roses and how Jesus is the rose of Sharon, how he's the lily in a valley, how he's the greatest, how he's majestic, how beautiful he is, I could probably get a shout in here. But the problem is I'm talking about the thorn, and we start hearing about the thorns. We don't like to shout. We don't enjoy it. We actually like to kind of tell ourselves, well, hopefully this message is not for me. Hopefully this message is for them. Hopefully this message will never come and visit my house. But the problem is, if you want the roses of life, you don't get a rose and it not have a thorn on it. And so roses and their relationship with the thorn illustrate what Paul's talking about. A thorn will make you appreciate the rose. The thorn will make you be cautious with the rose. And so it is with all beautiful things in life, all precious things in life. God put thorns around them so we won't mishandle them and take them for granted. Because the rose petals, that which really matters and really is important, is fragile. They're easily broken. They're easily bruised. And so we have to be cautious with them. We have to be cautious in our relationship with God. Not that God is fragile in some way, but many times we just don't know the consequence on the other side of our mishandling. We don't understand the pain. And so God will introduce a thorn so we'll protect that which is precious in our life. Because even in our relationship with God, we have a tendency to take it for granted. We have a tendency to take those most important relationships in our life for granted, and we mishandle them. And so the thorn reminds us how precious God is, how precious the people that are closest to us are, how close his house is to us, and what really matters. The thorn will teach us how to handle it if we'll listen to it. Number two, the thorn will produce revelation of what's important. The thorn will prick, it'll stab, it'll cut, it'll hurt, it'll pierce. The Bible says Paul's thorn was a messenger from Satan. And we would know that a messenger has a message. What message might the devil be trying to indoctrinate Paul with through the thorn? Maybe after he prayed three times, it was a message. God's not listening. God doesn't hear. If he does hear, he obviously doesn't care. He obviously doesn't love you. There must be something wrong with you. He's probably getting you back for that and this and the other. And that's really what's going on. He's getting back. This is payback time. That's why that stuff's going on in your life. And by the way, if he really loved you, this stuff wouldn't be happening in your life. He's probably left. He's probably this. All these messages are coming through the thorn. And so you and I have two responses when we experience the thorns of life. Number one, we could say, okay, maybe I need to handle some things more delicately. Maybe I need to be a bit more sensitive. I know all the men are turning me off right now. You see, many times it's not the rose's fault. It's how you handle it. It's how you treat it. And then the prick comes, the wound comes, and you're like, I can't believe it. So the second response, and this is what most people do, they throw it down. Like Gio, I can't stand that rose. That rose is the problem. That rose is the enemy. I can't believe that rose hurt me. I can't believe it did that. And we start blaming the rose for our injury and for our hurt. But godly things require us to be gentle. You can run through the fields of life and grab daisies. You can run through the fields of life and grab dandelions. But you cannot run through a rose garden and grab roses. And every generation has to learn a spiritual lesson that the stove is hot. And I understand we love to teach a one-year-old that, but I'm talking about people that have been serving God their whole life and they still don't respect the authority of God's word. They still don't respect what previous generations have laid out for us. Hey, on the other side of you thinking you can do whatever you want is a wound, is a burn, is a consequence. And God loves you too much just to let you do it. So what God does is he introduces to you, hey, that little thorn, that little prick is there to say, hey, there's greater danger if you keep going. Keep on pushing. Keep on thinking it don't matter. Keep on acting like what God's word says is not the most important thing. And eventually you're going to end up a mess, a wreck, relationships are wrecked, and you're going to be looking at God saying, what's going on? And God said, you threw the rose down. You thought the rose was the problem, but it's how you were handling it that was the problem. The thorns give us a respect for the rose. Theologians debate what was the thorn. Of course, we have great theologians out there to teach us this, like the Guns N' Roses. Every rose has its thorn, right? Many people say it was blindness. They believe Paul was potentially blind. He talks about needing large letters to read. The Judaizers would constantly persecute Paul. They would come in behind him and create strife and division amongst the people. Others believe it was family issues. The thorn is different in all of our lives, but the hurt, that thing that seems like God's not doing anything about it, that area that the devil is speaking through, he's using that hurt and he's speaking through it. A loud message, where's God at? Why isn't God listening? Why isn't God coming through? You cannot get stuck on the thorn because there's good news. And the good news is wherever there's a thorn, if you'll go up a little bit higher, if you'll just push past the thorn, if you'll not get tripped up on the thorn, there's a rose up there somewhere. If you get stuck on the thorn, you miss the revelation of the rose. And the key is keep climbing. There's a rose close by. Keep on pushing forward. The thorn is just a sign that God has a rose in store.
Hey, I'm praying that that message spoke to each and every one of you. And one of our favorite things to do is just offer an encouraging word to you at the end of our time together. And primarily, we want to ask you, are you right with God? Are you where you need to be with the Lord? Are you and God in a good place? Are you at peace with God? Have you placed your trust in Jesus Christ? If you've not done that, then I want to encourage you. The Bible says you shall know him in the power of his resurrection. So I'm not asking, do you know about church or do you know about religion or do you know about the religious figure as far as Jesus on a building or on a church sign? I'm asking, do you know him in the power of his resurrection? Is he living on the inside of you? Do you sense that you and God are in a personal relationship? And if not, I want to challenge you right now to take the step, inviting him into your life, making him Lord, putting your full confidence and trust in him. And you say, how do I do that? Well, the Bible says you believe that he died on the cross, that he rose again from the dead, that he's God's only son, and that you simply confess your sins and you receive forgiveness. And the Bible says when you do that, you're taking that first step in your walk with him. Every one of us at some point have to take this step. And on the other side of this step is a whole brand new world. The Bible says, old things pass away, and behold, all things become brand new. Would you pray this prayer with me? If you're not right with God, you're not at peace with God, just simply say this right where you're at. Say, Jesus, I believe you died on a cross for my sin. I believe that you rose again from the dead. I believe that you're God's only son. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to fill me with the Holy Spirit. And I'll serve you from this point on in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, take the next step and call the number on the screen. We don't want you to do this alone. We want to do what we can do to come alongside of you. And so there's so much more on the other side of that decision, and we want to be a blessing to you in your new walk with God. Also, if you're out there and you're going through anything, you're facing any challenge, you're up against the wall in any way, you need a miracle in your life, you need healing in your body, you're in a marital struggle, you're struggling with your children, you're in a dry place spiritually, would you call the number on the screen? Don't just sit there. Let us believe God with you. Let us pray with you. And if you'll call the number on the screen, we believe it'll be a blessing to your life. And also, wherever you're at, whatever your situation is, don't forget we have these brand new resources that are free, completely free. If you'll call the number on the screen, they'll get those to you. The Unbroken Devotional, the Acts Devotional. Grab those, get those. They'll encourage you in your walk with God. And if you're able to, 30 minutes after our time together, you can come and hang out with us live and online. Enjoy Seven Hills Church with me today. Worship with us, chat with us, get to know us. And until then, we'll see you next week.